Once again, it's really good to see you all. If you happen to be new, I'm Bob Spradling. I'm one of the coaches here. We describe ourselves in the pastor role here as coaches as opposed to pastor this or that. The reason is because we believe everybody here has a role to play. And you may look in the mirror and say, well, that doesn't really fit me. The truth is it does fit you. And so everybody here has a role to play in our job. Jake Taylor, Jake's in Mexico today, and he used to minister in Mexico as a missionary, and a group of people were going down there. They asked him to go with him, so he's down in Mexico. Wayne Bandy is right there, the man with the best hair on our staff. And he is everywhere doing things with people, quietly mentoring them. A lot of the changes that you all have seen at Maywood actually are Wayne's fault. And so we thank you. And I'm serious about that. It's a real gift. Amen. And then Josh Monk is also one of our coaches. And you all, if you don't know, you will know. Josh had brain surgery this week. And so he is at home and he is resting. And I have a message to give to you from Amanda, and that is, you ready? No visitors. What does no visitors mean? No visitors. Let me tell you how much it means that. I knocked on the hospital room door, and you know what they said? Pastor, no visitors. Okay? So I talked to Amanda, and so we visited, but I did not go in and talk to Josh. And the reason is because his surgery has him off the chart pain levels. And so he cannot have any light and he can't have any sound. Can you imagine what would happen if I came in and I talked? He would have a lot of sound, okay? So what do you want to do? What can you do? You can write a card, leave it in the office, and I'll make sure they're on their doorstep, all right? I had the frickin' frack crowd back there in the penny seats say to me, we'll cook them anything they want and hand deliver it to their doorstep, which is pretty nice. I'm sure other people will take care of food. We've already had some generous donations because they're going to need some money. So if you want to do that, anybody who gives, we'll write down your name and we will let them know that you care about them and you can pray for them. Okay? So those are things we can do. And Josh has got a ways to go on this. He's going to have further treatment. And so you all do some praying. Everybody fair with that? Okay. Let's pray, and then we're going to talk about prayer. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for today. Thank you for a time of singing. Thank you for songs that get our hearts in tune with you. Thank you for those who are baptized today. Lord, what a joy it is. And I again pray for them that you bless them abundantly. Lord, and we as a church commit to pray for them and those who were baptized last week and in recent weeks. Lord, we ask your care. Look after each one of them, we pray. And thank you for that. Thank you for their families. Bless them, we pray. Lord, we lift up Josh and Amanda to you today, and we commit ourselves to put a part of our prayer life every day in for them. Show us how to do that. Lord, please be our teacher. We don't want to hear from me. We want to hear from you. And so please speak to us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk to you about prayer, and I've got three different sections to go through in the Bible, and this will be the first section. And so before I get into that, let me talk to you how I think about prayer. And I used this as an illustration several months ago, so if you remember it, don't give it away to your neighbor. But it really is appropriate for me. What is behind the power of prayer? So before I started being a preacher, I worked in a warehouse. And my boss was a big oil wholesaler. We had cases upon cases of oil. And one of my jobs was loading cases of oil on trucks. So let's imagine that my boss came down and said, Bob, I want you to take 900 cases of oil to Effingham, Illinois. That was one of the places that we sent oil to almost every week. And so I think, how am I going to do that? Well, I've got this two-wheeler over here, so I'll put five cases on it, and I'll head north until I get to Effingham, and then I'll come back, and I'll get five more, and eventually I'll get 900 done. And you say, you're crazy. At that time, I actually bought this from the boss's son, had a 1964 Dodge Polara convertible. Folks, when I bought that, it was almost a new car, so that kind of gives you an idea about my age. It had a 318 leather bucket seats. It was sweet, Eric. You would have liked it, okay? And so let's say maybe I thought, well, maybe I can get at least 25 or 30 cases in there. I can put some in the front seat, some in the back, put the top down, put some in the trunk. We drive like that up to Effingham, and I turn around and I come back. Say I started doing it. The boss would come out. It's Bradling. Look over there. There is a trailer truck. There is a forklift. In 30 minutes, you can load that truck with 900 cases of oil, wave to the driver, and it will be delivered. So many of us approach our working for God, figuring things out, like my first two illustrations. How can I, big emphasis on I, do it? And we forget that God has given us this 42-foot trailer pulled by a Kenworth diesel that will take what we need through prayer to its destination. So I want to encourage you to think about the power of prayer. God has given us this vehicle to be enormously effective, because when we talk to God, we bring all the resources of heaven to bear upon our situations. Okay? So let that image percolate in your mind. And we're going to talk about three different aspects of prayer. The first aspect is prayers for everybody. So here's a passage where Jesus says he called a little child to him and he placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Where do we start in our prayer life as beginners? We are just children before the Father. That's a great place to pray. The other night we had a prayer meeting for Josh, and in the middle of our praying, one of the ladies, I was with this group, she got in the middle of her prayer. She said, I've never done this before. And I don't know if she's here or not. I don't see her, but okay. And I just said, great. Don't you all realize that God looks at the heart, not the mouth? I remember one Sunday several years ago, Brian Rose, who's the head of our ushers and one of the greatest guys in our church, Brian Rose got up here to pray, and he got all choked up, and all he said was, Lord, and he said nothing else. One of the best prayers ever been prayed in our church. I was crying before he got off the stage. Just, I mean, whoa. So God doesn't look at the mouth. He looks at the heart. We can pray to him as children. You all look at some of these little kids that are in the audience right now. Some of them can't even speak yet, but they know what they want. And we can connect with them, and we can respond to what they want. Here's what the Lord said to us about children. He said, if you, being evil, all of us, fallen, broken, messed up people, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to those who ask him? And so, please do not let the idea that I've never prayed before keep you from praying. Please don't let the idea that I don't sound like some preacher or a teacher or some great orator when I pray keep you from praying. Please don't worry about getting all the words right. God is not looking at the words. He's looking at your heart. And so just like a little child who comes asking for something, you know, if we can give it to him, we're going to give it to him. Everybody good with that? So that's the first part. The second part talks about why do we pray? What is prayer all about? So this is possibly one of my favorite verses on the subject of prayer. It starts off where the Lord says, here I stand at the door and knock. If you can imagine your prayer, the Lord is knocking at your heart's door. All prayer originates in the heart of God. And so he knocks at your heart's door. And he is the one that gives you the push to pray. We get it sort of confused, and we think we're trying to get God to pay attention to us. The truth is, he's trying to get us to pay attention to him. And so he knocks at our door, and he says to us, "This is in my heart." And so the next part of that verse says this: "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." So let's talk about that eating business, because that might be a bit confusing. In the ancient world, to eat with someone meant to have a close relationship with them. And so Jesus is saying, "I want to have a close relationship with you, and that is why I'm knocking at your heart's door to come in." All right? Jesus was criticized for the company he kept. He ate with tax collectors and sinners and that sort of thing. And the Pharisees thought, "Well, you're eating with the wrong people." Why? Because to eat with someone is to have a close relationship with someone. Okay? And so when the Lord says to us, "I'm knocking at your heart's door and I want to come in," why does he want to come in? He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Friends, that is amazing. Okay? That is amazing. I have had an opportunity to meet some important people in my life. And I sort of strut that about every so often. I met President Truman when I was a kid, and I was within speaking distance of a couple of other high-ranking dignitary people over my lifetime, and so I like to strut that around. Let me tell you something. The smallest child in this place, the most infirm, the weakest man or woman can have a personal relationship with the greatest being of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all. And he is knocking at your heart's door today to say, "Let me come and be a part of your life. Let me come and be that 42-foot trailer pulled by the big truck. Let me supply for you the resources of heaven for what concerns you." So he knocks at our heart's door, and it says if we hear his voice, we have to hear that. Sometimes the Lord knocks and we think it's a problem, or we think it's a disease, or we think it's an issue, or we think it's we're not getting our own way. He knocks at our heart's door and we miss that it's God knocking, all right? But if we hear his voice and open the door, he comes in. Now, we were in the kitchen the other day, it's Wednesday night, and one of our guys in the kitchen asked me, he said, "What about this repetition prayer? Can we keep on asking?" And I gave him an example from the scripture, and the door was open to the outside, and there's a doorstop in there, so the door was open. I said, "We want to keep the door open." And so prayer is not just vain, empty repetition. We keep on praying to let God know we still have the door open. In the early service, I told the crowd there was a night that I prayed all night, back a few years ago, and God heard me the first time, and God heard me after the second hour and the third hour and the fourth hour, but I wanted that door open, and I believe God heard what I prayed about, and it was the same prayer, quite frankly, over and over and over again, hour after hour after hour, and I don't think God got tired of that anymore then a mother gets tired of hearing her child say, "I love you," or, "Mama, I've got a fever, and will you hold me?" Dear ones, God is better than the absolute best of us times a million millions. And so when we bring these things to him, all we're doing is just opening the door, and we're saying, "God, come in. God, come be a part of this situation. Lord, I don't even know how to talk about it, but I'm just keeping the door open for you to come. God, I'm just a little child who is before you, and I don't even begin to have the answers, and I'm not going to try to work you with my words. I just want you to know, dear God, I want you here." We can pray like that, okay? So the first prayer is, there are no professionals in the praying business. I had the wonderful occasion of hearing Richard Foster, who wrote the book Celebration of Discipline. I heard him a few years ago at a retreat. And he is this tremendously godly Quaker man who loves all of the church and is just dynamic as can be. And I remember him saying, "Y'all know what? We're all amateurs at prayer." And he pointed himself. He said, "I'm an amateur." We're all amateurs. We're all learning. We don't have it all figured out. We're just little children sitting on the lap of our Father saying, "Oh God, we need this." So who is excluded from praying with that in mind? Nobody. We all can do it. What does prayer do? Prayer opens the door for God to come and work. And with that said, I want to go to my last theme of Scripture, and I want to talk about this. And this is a very, very powerful passage that we're going to spend a few minutes with, okay? I've read a whole lot about prayer over the years. This is maybe one of the most important verses that people have relied upon for centuries, okay? So it starts off like this: "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." I want to break it down a little bit. It won't take long, but I do want to break it down. First of all, if you remain in me. Let's say I'm standing right here and Jesus is over by the piano. And have I remained in him? Not necessarily. Let's say that I'm over here and I'm harboring in my heart unforgiveness. I'm bitter. There's this root of bitterness that's deep in me, and I'm living in unforgiveness. Jesus is over by the piano, and he is the greatest forgiver of all. Am I following him? Am I remaining in him? The answer is no, I'm not. And so if I am to remain in him, or to follow him, where Jesus walks, I have to walk too. Where he goes, what he thinks, I have to learn to think also. And so the reason why I use the issue of forgiveness is because probably one of the largest hindrances to hearing prayers, for God answering prayers, is unforgiveness. And so people who have learned to pray this verse of Scripture, when they come before the Lord, they say, "God, search my heart. Let me see deep inside of me if there are broken relationships, if there is a continued root of bitterness, if there is an element of unforgiveness. And God, may I leave from my hard set place, and may I come over and join you where you are." Okay, let me give you one more illustration about remaining. Let's say I'm staying over here, and the truth is I've got a pet sin or two. You know what those pets, they've been with us for a long time. And we figure that we and God have a deal. You know, he likes to forgive and we like to sin. And so it's kind of okay for us to have this little pet sin. And we still want to come to church, and we still want to engage, and we want to look like we're put together and so on, but the truth is we've got this little pet sin, and we even pray, but there doesn't seem to be too much power. That's because over here the Lord has said, "I want to set you free from that. I want to turn you loose." And you can't have that and have this at the same time. You know, there was a young man who, when Jesus said, "Come and follow me," said, "Well, first let me go home and live long enough with my parents that I can see them off to heaven, and then I'm going to come and follow you." And Jesus, you know, gave him a pretty sharp word, because Jesus says, when you follow me, you have to follow me, no strings attached. Okay? That's strong. But the reason why he does that is so that he can flow his life through us. Okay? Let me give you a little ism here about prayer. Prayer will keep you from sinning, or sin will keep you from praying. Okay? Amen? Prayer will keep you from sinning, or sin will keep you from praying. And so the first thing is remain in me. That is to walk with him. The second part, and by words, remain in you. We need to know what God's up to. When we are praying, really, quite frankly, for anything, the power is knowing what God is up to. Now, I will tell you, there are people who have spent, before they ever ask God anything, they have spent days upon days getting their heart right with God before they ask. These are some major league prayer warriors, but they don't just jump into the throne room of God without looking at their heart very deeply. So it's important for us to realize that it's really good for us to wait before God and to ask this question: God, what is there in me that I need to let go of here so I can come over here and I can stay with you as one of your followers? The second thing in the middle of that is, God, what are you up to? What is your word? How do you know what is God's word? You do it by reading the Bible. And a very prayerful, systematic reading of the Bible allows God to speak to you. Okay? Now, let me tell you how valuable that is by talking about a man by the name of Ed Silvoso. Ed is a Latin American, wonderful, city-reaching man. I think it's his brother-in-law's Luis Palau. You might know of one of the two of those men. Years ago, Ed Silvoso had just completed his doctorate, was launching this ministry of city reaching, which had really major proportions, mainly in Latin America, but also in the Pacific Northwest. And he got sick. And he got really sick, like he could die. And so Silvoso knew this passage very well, and he knew that he couldn't stay anywhere away from following Jesus and know what was up. But he also knew he needed to know what God's will was over the matter. So he took a 3-day prayer retreat. He fasted and he prayed to hear this: God, am I going to live or am I going to die? Big stuff. And so for 3 days, he kept himself alone with God. He did everything he knew to do to connect with God. And guess what? God said nothing. And that happens sometimes too. So, a little bit frustrated, he got in his car and he headed back home. And on the way back home, God whispered in his heart, in a way that Silvoso knew the will of God, the word of God, you're going to live. And the reason why God told him you're going to live was so he could pray the will of God over his own situation. And also so he could go through the most horrific medical treatment he had ever dreamed a person could go through. And he was not left unscathed. His vision was permanently impaired. If you see him read, he reads with the Bible about like this, has big, thick Coke bottle glasses. He was not left unimpaired physically, but he was left filled powerfully spiritually. Folks, this is a little heavy-duty preaching for today. I'm going to end it up, but I want to talk about it. If you remain in me, if you leave where you're standing and you walk over and you join the Lord, if you wait until you've heard God's will, what is he saying? And you pray God's will, what does he say? Whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Because you are making this loop. God, the Father, has knocked on your heart's door. And in turn, you have heard what he has to say and you send it back to him so he can release his power down on earth to carry the heavy freight that you never, ever could carry yourself. Okay? I'm going to tell you one more thing about prayer, and then we're going to invite the worship team to come up here and we're going to invite you to come and pray about this. Nobody has time to pray. I believe that with all my heart. Nobody has time to pray. The devil will find a way to keep you from praying, maybe more than anything else. So we talk a lot about prayer. We just don't do as much as we talk about it. Nobody has time to pray. Everybody can make time to pray. You can stop doing something so you set aside time to pray. at this time in the life of our church, it is very important that we all are encouraged to pray like the little children sitting on the lap of our Father saying, oh God, we need you. We all need to open up the door so the Spirit of God can work in our lives and again, carry the heavy freight where it needs to go in the work of God here. We also need to leave where we've been standing and walk over to where Jesus is leading, whatever it might be, whatever way, learn the will of God and then pray the will of God. It's very, very important. So I'm going to pray and then I'm going to invite you all to stand with me. Go ahead and stand right now. Worship team is going to come and lead us. We'll have some people up here who'd like to pray with you. You come and you pray and you respond, all right? Lord, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Lord, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of prayer, pour out in our hearts and our lives what we need to be praying, men and women, at this time. Please do that, we pray. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.